Jesus tells us that he is walking with us always. He abides with us. He tells us that the kingdom of heaven is within, that we dwell in our Father's house. And yet for many of us, especially at crucial times in our life, we experience ourselves as standing outside that house, alone on the sidewalk, and longing for home. I came to believe very early in life, just like a bird having survived the storm and is left with a tangled wing, that I was flawed, not quite good enough. And I don't know if any other people had this, but it was like a thing when I was a girl that you had black spots on your soul. Oh, isn't that, I don't know, did anybody? Oh, I'm so glad. But that was a thing. That was a thing, and I thought I had it. Somewhere then in the deep sorrow-filled cradle of my mind, I believed myself to be incorrigible beyond redemption. I was a very wealthy child, and my mom, bless her kind heart, was often quite exasperated with me. Yet, what I know is that from before I was born, my parents loved me and were equally terrified of losing me, of losing all that they loved. We must honor how devastating trauma or multi-generational trauma can be on our spiritual and psychological lives. Those that have survived wars, those that have survived profound loss. But I will leave that conversation with you for another day. So, cleaving my tangled wing to my chest, I spent the next many days, years, and decades of my life seeking wholeness and salvation. I prayed for the burning bush. I really did. That's what it needed to be. It needs to be the burning bush. Because it's got to be big. It's got to be big because this seemingly loathsome soul needed a big fire. And I began to hide myself. I hid myself from myself. I hid myself from others. As it turns out, I was not successful at hiding from God. But in their ignorance, these disowned parts of myself generated their own world, their own memories, their own emotions, their own images, their own feelings. Of course, they are peeking out from the shadow all the time. I continued to believe, quite unconsciously, of course, that I was separate from life, that I was separate from God. This false belief is the most crucial and above all, the most innocent mistake that we make. If my language sounds a little overly dramatic, it is because the essence of a spiritual life emerges from our big questions. Not what am I going to be when I grow up or grow old. It comes from the big questions of birth, life, and death. Life and death, oh, life is glorious and it is messy. Suffering is hard. And in all this wild and untamable life, of which we have no control, life asks us what we want. Do we want to be awake or do we want to be asleep? We come into this world seeking, seeking attachment, seeking security, seeking love, seeking food, seeking shelter. What begins as a biological survivor becomes a psychological survivor. And necessarily, it is so. It is essential to become a somebody. As we learn to engage and manage a world that is so big and so overwhelming, as we manage to find love and give love in a world that is so big and so overwhelming. And in becoming a somebody, we necessarily leave behind little pieces of ourselves that we have unwittingly deemed unacceptable. It's not our fault. It's not anybody's fault. It is what it is to be human. And yet, here we are, together, capable of loving and being loved. This is my somebody, standing before your somebodies. There are somebodies sitting beside you, and some bodies sitting behind you and in front of you. I dare you, I double dog dare you to have a look. Have a look. There they are. Ooh, there's those somebodies. What do you see? What do you see? And what, I wonder? And wonder with me, what might my heart see that my eyes do not see? The beautiful Christian mystic, Meister Eckhart. Do any of you know Meister Eckhart? 14th century. I've spent the week with him. He's a really great roommate. And he says this, and I love this. There's a place in the soul where you have never been wounded. We have all survived storms, storms from within and storms from without. I have devoted my life. My life has been devoted for me to understanding the many ways that folks tell their stories and navigate their storms. I have done this too as I've sailed through a few of my own. But wisdom asks. She impels us to learn, even as she gives us some pretty harsh lessons. Like the geese as they're flying and the wind is howling and the snow is in their face, and yet they fly. We come today to be together, really, because we're all good students. We are all seeking and longing in our own trembling hearts. And most importantly, we are not alone. There's somebodies, and there's another alone that we are not. It took me a long time to figure this one, so you'll just bear with me. I'm kind of scared to say it out loud. But this, in my own observation of myself and others, our longing for God, for intimacy with life, comes from the very fulfillment that we are seeking. Love sends out a call. We hear the longing. It is asking us to return. So be joyful with your longing. One of my most profound moments of grace came when I was very ill. I had been a psychiatric patient for many weeks in the hospital. On different times, I was there for months. I was lost to my friends, to my family, to my children, to myself. It was grim. But on the night of nights, when I could no longer hold on to my somebody-ness, there was finally a surrender. It had something to do with hearing my son's voice on the phone, saying, "Mom, you'll be okay." He was eight. No, he was six. Grace embraced me. I was defeated. And I woke up out of that world, out of that world of fear and confusion, out of that world where there was a perpetual sense of threat that I couldn't name. It was a new day. It was a gift. I knew from that moment on, with absolute certainty, that I was not alone. Of course, I also forgot. I forgot, and then I remember, and then I forget, and then I remember, and then it's the next moment, and then it, and then, and then. But Meister Eckhart, my new boyfriend, also says, "You should know," this is how he says it, it's kind of like your mom, you know, or, "You should know." And he is emphatic. "You should know that God must act and pour himself into you the moment you are ready. You must know." It's not just all on us, folks. It's just not all on us. You should know that God must act and pour himself into you when you are ready. There's the when you are ready thing. That's the hiccup for me. What does it mean to be ready? To be willing. What does it mean to be open? To surrender. What does it mean to let go? I'm going to give you the long answer. I don't know. In my practice, or even in my work as a chaplain, people say, "Well, I just need to let go. You know, I'm here so you can help me let go." And I'm like, "Well, I don't even know what that means. I don't know how to do that. I don't..." Do we actually think that we can sort of formulate a plan of the surrender plan, the letting go plan? No. It doesn't work that way. I wish sometimes in my life it did. Our bodies, these some bodies, are the crucible in which the truth forges itself anew in each moment. Are we available? It is alchemy. It is transformational. And it is a mystery. a great, beautiful mystery. And we are not in charge. It is not a decision to make or take an action. Surrender, like forgiveness. Surrender, like forgiveness, is not an action. It is an embodied way of being. When we receive the wisdom of the First Nations, or when I received my son's innocence, telling me that I was still whole in his eyes. A mystery. I'm so glad I'm not in charge. As a student of mind, body, and soul, I've learned from wonderful trainers and wonderful teachers. Later in my life, when I had been in practice for some time, I went into theological school. And I moved in many circles, practiced in the shamanic traditions, practiced and studied Buddhist philosophy, practiced the Kabbalah, studied deeply the path of the great mystics, the Christian mystics, the Islamic mystics. These mystics have their own language that transcends all of our religious words. Some of them were strange and exotic. I did a little dip into Wiccan for a while. That was interesting. I was always burning candles and had lots of rocks, and many of that was very beautiful because it taught me, like the stone that's in your hand, that I am somebody. Like the rock is somebody. The stone is somebody. We are all a part of the body. All these sacred texts and teachers challenged me, but were my close companions. Even still, with my knowledge and even understanding, I find myself looking in or looking out, and not always seeing. So quite understandably and unavoidably, because I'm human and fearful and can sometimes gravitate to the dark shadow of misunderstanding and the world of my mistaken identity, my little survivor churning her world in there, I put myself back to sleep. And so I begin again. And every moment, like every breath, notice if you take it in, you can't but let it go. Just try it. You'll pass out. You let it in, and you let it go. We are gifted with the next moment and the next breath. And what I have gleaned from the teachers that I have studied and the great masters, and most endearingly, Jesus, the master of my heart, the master of the heart, my friend. There is in all these traditions one fundamental imperative. Are you ready for it? Drum roll. Took me 30 years to find this. And the fundamental imperative is be still. There it was, all the time, in every text, in the monotheistic traditions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity. Fundamental imperative. What do you need to do? You need to be still. This is not a stillness, though, that requires you to sit in prayer or meditation for hours or even minutes of the day. Although it is lovely if you can do that and you want to do that. Rather, this is an instruction. It's rather like my boyfriend, Meister Eckhart. You should know. This is an instruction and maybe even a command to stop. Jesus is saying, be still, stop. This is crucial, essential. So the prayer is this. This is our new prayer. The prayer is, this is my prayer, and I exercise it regularly. I need do nothing. When my little survivor thinks she's got to go and do something, she's got to please this one, or help that one, or rescue that one, or just stay alive, I need do nothing. For how can there be the freedom to choose and to create when you are being governed by the belief of the world that you must be a certain way? For how can there be the freedom to choose and to create when you are being governed by the belief of the world that you must be a certain way? So we do nothing. Until we do something, but we do nothing to invite the stillness, to invite the little survivors in us to rest, to not react to the world, to choose the world, to choose to love and be loved. The survivor's belief that you are not enough or the world is not enough is a costly misperception that limits us, keeps us lacking and searching, and is so very, very lonely. When we invite ourselves to do nothing, when we allow ourselves to do nothing, if we can refute the judgments in ourselves to be somebody, a certain somebody, if we no longer place any demand on ourselves or on life to be other than what it is, if we stop and simply allow everything to be as it is, what do you suppose might happen with that kind of listening? Will you join me in a little experiment? Oh, nobody's even nodding their head. I'm scared again. Just for a moment, still your body. Still your hands, still your feet. Still your face. Let your jaw drop gently open and your mouth and your tongue rest on the bottom of your mouth. Let your eyes cast down or slowly close, doesn't matter. And I want you to take your attention away from your thoughts while I give you this question. And you will ask yourself this question in the stillness of your own body, in the quiet of your own mind. And it's about listening not to our thoughts, but just notice what happens in your body when you ask yourself the question, what happens when I allow everything to be as it is? In this moment, when I allow everything to be as it is. What do I notice when I allow everything everything to be as it is. Drop the question in like a prayer. Do not try to answer it. See if your body has an answer. So what do you notice? Anybody can say if they want. Relaxed. Yes. What does anybody else notice?
Attention to the breath.
Attention to the breath. Sorry?
Complete.
Nothing missing, huh? This is a form of spiritual inquiry that I love and was given to me by one of my teachers. And inevitably, I calm down. I relax. And I want you to notice what might even be deeper. So you are welcome to this meditation, to this question. When you are at odds with the world, that by allowing everything to be as it is, you notice that stillness is already present. We don't have to go looking for it. So what I wrote next is, I don't know what to write now. As I'm writing this, I'm wondering how this was for you. I'm wondering if you notice that stillness is there before you even go looking for it. I'm wondering if the senses of your body give you a sense of a doorway that is before you. Grace seeks the doorway. And our courage and deep listening allows and bids her welcome. I recognize that some parts of our journey we seem to go it alone, but I think we have too strongly identified our independence and our self-reliance. I see how our own survivors in their worlds fraught with fear and confusion will have us walk away rather than walk toward. They need to know that they too can stop and rest. This is time to trust. Yes, it is vulnerable to open. As I said to you earlier, I get scared sometimes just going down for coffee. I don't know always how to approach people. I'm scared. I'm vulnerable. But we are all just truly wanting to get each other off these hooks that we're on. As we are one heart, there is no freedom for one without freedom for the other. Let's make no mistake then, it is a simple and not so simple thing to stop, to be still, to open to the word, to be available only in this moment. In this moment, to be available in this moment. Oh, now this moment. And now in this moment, what happens when I allow everything? The beating of my own heart, the beating of the hearts around me. Just allow, with all the pain, with no wish to be otherwise. Ah, there, Christ in the palm of your hand, as we walk each other home. So let's just take a moment to rest now, shall we?